Hey there, and welcome to another episode of the Love Offering Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Adams, and today's guest is Victoria Durstock. Victoria is on the show today talking about how a little kindness goes a long way based on my devotional, A Little Goes a Long Way, 52 Days to a Significant Life. Victoria has written The Story of Good, which includes the individual accounts of more than 30 founders that were brought together under the umbrella of the Good Market. Join us as Victoria shares stories about ordinary people who long to understand their calling, not only one day in the future, but right now, not giving up everything living in Africa, but taking what they are doing today and leveraging it in such a way that it echoes in the hearts of others in an extraordinary way forever. We pray you see yourself in their stories and see how a little kindness goes a long way. Hello, Victoria, and welcome to the Love Offering Podcast. I'm so happy to have you.
Hey, Rachel. Thank you so much for letting me come on and join you today.
So today's conversation is all about how a little kindness goes a long way based on my devotional, A Little Goes a Long Way, 52 Days to a Significant Life. And you've written The Story of Good, which is a beautiful gift book that highlights over 20 inspirational accounts of some of the founders within Good Market. So what inspired you to compile this?
Well, this could be a really long story, so I'm going to try to consolidate just a little bit. And you know, writers love words, so this is challenging. One of the things that I love in general is finding stories about people who are just doing extraordinary things already. You know, people that are just living out their lives with their purpose and recognizing, you know, how God fits, not necessarily fits into their story, but how God uniquely created them to do what they do and how that affects the people around them. And so for several years, actually, I've wanted to write a book like The Story of Good. I've had some other names for it, and I've pitched it to a lot of places along the way, had in mind what I thought it should look like, and there was just no open doors. So I thought that that actual dream was kind of dead, deceased, not going to happen. But what happened is, because of a journey I took 10 years ago on a mission trip, and interacted with actually one of the stories that I tell in The Story of Good with this particular ministry in the Dominican Republic, I met someone who 4 years later invited me to participate in another role, got to know them really well. And to make a really, really long story short, the day that he announced that they were going to launch the Good Market and what it was all about, we were on a meeting with a bunch of people on Zoom. And I knew immediately that this was the book. This was the story I wanted to tell, because these were the people that I wanted to talk about, people that were doing extraordinary things just in their everyday, ordinary life. And I looked at him, and we weren't supposed to be, like, we were doing other business. But I remember looking at him and saying, that's a book, and I want to write that. And he goes, and we need to talk. And immediately texts were going, emails were going, and we were supposed to be in the meeting. And I felt really bad, and I tried to like put it down, but it was almost as if this just electric shock had hit me in that moment, that this was it. Like, this was what I had been really trying to search for and trying to tell. And if there was some way that I could do this. And what happened is, God brought all the stories together into one place so that I could write the book. I didn't have to go out and research. I didn't have to go out and get images. I didn't have to go out and do all of it. It was just packaged up together. And it was as if God said, okay, now is the right time. And here's why. And here it is.
Oh, so much to that, Victoria, like God's timing, the power of an encounter to, you know, like one little conversation that we just have no idea. I mean, he knows, but we don't. And then like the multiplication effect of that is just, it's so beautiful and so encouraging and so much hope in everything that you just shared. And so this collection of stories focuses on the power of ordinary people leveraging whatever skills and talents that they have in order to make an exceptional difference in the lives of others. So I know everybody listening is like, okay, so tell us some of these stories we want to hear.
Well, it's always challenging, you know, in these interviews, often people will say, well, what's your favorite story? And I will try to come up with one. Inevitably, I can't, because one leads to another and another and another. I mentioned, you know, that first initial interaction in the Dominican Republic that happened as a mission trip that I took my daughter on. I met the New Hope girls and Joy in La Vega in Dominican Republic. And they had a tiny little house on a hill where they were helping girls who were in really dire need, in order to kind of keep the story short. They gave them housing. They gave them protection because in the Dominican Republic, sex trafficking, sex tourism is such a bad, there's not really a great way to say it's just such a dark place. And it is there, I think the number four country in the whole world for that. But the thing is with girls, it's ages 8 to 12 that are being pulled into the system. And it's becoming cyclical. So the girls grow up, they become moms themselves, and it continues on. And it's just, it's a tragic, tragic situation. And I kind of was thrust into it a decade ago, and I could never leave. My heart has never left. I have a passion for trying to bring attention to what they do. And anytime there's a way to help, I'm kind of there. You know, my girls had a coffee business for a little while when they were younger, and we created a New Hope Blend girls coffee, you know, and we supported them in that way. We've just tried through the years to find different ways to help support them and their ministry. So the New Hope girls and the workshop and their products being part of this book is so meaningful to me because they were part of the origination of really of all of this. And beyond that, we sold Mud Love bracelets for a little while through the Cool Chicks coffee business, which was my girl's company. And Mud Love is also part of this story, which is another amazing God thing where he brought all of these people together. But Mud Love, we used to sell Esperanza bracelets to raise money for New Hope Girls. And so again, there's this interweaving of my last decade of my life into a book where I could just tell you stories upon stories of the good that Mud Love is doing by bringing water to those in Africa who need water desperately, to the girls in the Dominican Republic, to Bob Dalton here in the U.S. with Sackcloth and Ashes, designing beautiful blankets. They're amazing quality, but also donating a blanket to a homeless shelter in your zip code every time one is ordered so that you can love your city well. There's so many wonderful stories. Like I could go on for hours and tell you why I'm so passionate about every one of the stories in this book.
I've got to just order a copy of your book because this
I will send you one. Like,
I'm really
so passionate.
Well, yeah, you know, you just think sometimes you start to think, well, what can I do? Absolutely. You know, like you see need everywhere, but it kind of just feels like there's just too much. And like my little offering is just, you know, what difference is that going to make? And you actually have a quote that I saw on your website, and it's from Edmund Burke. And it says this: nobody made a greater mistake than he who did nothing because he could do a little. And that makes me all teary just reading it. So do you think that often we don't do the good we think God is leading us to do because it feels too small? And how would you encourage us to believe that every little thing actually does matter?
100%. I'm one of those big dreamers, big thinkers. I want to fix the big problems, but many times those big problems are so big that, you know, buying a bag of coffee or buying a bracelet seems like this very small, it's not going to help change everything. And again, I keep harping back to that first trip to the Dominican Republic, but it really rocked my heart. And I can look back and say, this is where this started because I looked at Joy on that trip. There was probably 15 or 16 girls in the house at the time. And they were doing a lot with a very little. And I said, how do you do this? Like day in, day out, like my spirit, I think would be crushed to know how big the need was. And I don't know if I would be able to get up every morning knowing that, you know, there were a lot more girls out there that needed to be helped. And I had a lot of girls already that I needed to help. Like, how do you do that? Like, how do you do one foot in front of the other? How do you do that day in, day out? I don't know if I could. And she was the one that reminded me of the story of the starfish. And I don't know if you've ever heard the legend of the starfish, if you've ever heard this. Well, there are two people walking along the beach and one continues to reach down and pick up a starfish that had come up on the beach and he throws it back out to the ocean. And they keep walking and he keeps throwing one at a time. And the person walking next to him said, why do you keep doing that? You're not going to be able to rescue all of them. And he said, well, I don't have to rescue all of them, but I did something for this one. And she said, it's that same intentionality in her heart is if she can help just one, that's going to be enough. She wants to help all, but she looks for that one. And I think that was so awakening for me in that moment that I don't have to help everybody in order to make a difference, but I could make a difference in one person's life. And I think what's beautiful about the story of good is that not only can we learn about products that are being made that actually help people that are already doing good with their businesses. We can also learn about what they're trying to do and how they're trying to impact that particular need. We can support that, but we are also doing more because they're helping each other. They're helping a greater good. It's just this really neat way for us to participate, but also to highlight what they're already doing. We don't have to go out and start a brand new mission. We don't have to go out and start a brand new business. We don't have to do other things. How can we participate? Can we do a fundraiser? How can we participate with the work that's already going on? And I think that that's empowering. That's exciting because I don't have to necessarily go be the creator or the starter, but I can participate if there's a way.
That segues beautifully into the next question I want to ask you. So how do you think that we can incorporate simple acts of love like that and acts of love and kindness to our day-to-day lives, like during what we're already doing in many ways?
It's so interesting. I think there's been a bit of a shift since COVID. I wrote a book called Extraordinary Hospitality for Ordinary Christians in 2020. It released after the shutdowns.
You were hospitable to your family.
Right, right. You're like, okay, so we're opening our doors to no one. That's great. I thought, boy, Lord, the timing on this one, really tough. I don't know why you had me write this book in this time. But the reality is that the message doesn't change. I think the message is needed now even more than ever because this was interesting because this happened this morning. I was talking to my husband. He's actually overseas in Asia right now and on a business trip. And I asked him how he found the people. He just got back in a country that had been closed down. They just opened back up again for foreign visitors. And I said, well, how is it? Like, are the restaurants open? Like, you know, are you finding a place to stay? Like, are you sleeping in a car? What's going on? You know? And he said, it's fine. He said, just the people aren't as kind as they were. And it's the first trip he's made to that particular country since COVID shut down. And I thought, this is actually kind of across the board globally, kind of what we've seen is that I think we became a little bit more like self-oriented in the last few years than maybe we were even before that. And I think it's harder now for us to be intentional about saying, how could I be kind today? Even though I think we all want to, right? I think we all have this desire to help other people and want to, but we're not always intentional about taking action. And I think the action is the missing part.
Again, you're like setting me up very well. So why do you think that it is so important to pair faith with action? I mean, God in his scripture, he says, let's not just be hearers, let's be doers. And so important, like there is good work for us to do.
Well, James is one of my favorite books of the Bible. I memorized it a few years ago and just challenged myself to take on memory work in my older age, which was far more challenging than it was when I was a young person. But James has impacted my life as well, because the book is full of telling us we have to live out, you know, what we say. Our words aren't enough. We have to live it out. We're showing the world how we're different when we behave differently than the world. And we're going to behave differently just by being kind, which is really sad to me that it doesn't take a lot for us to look very different, but it really doesn't. It could be a smile. Man, we were behind masks for a really long time. It's really weird. We got used to not smiling at each other or making eye contact. It can be a kind word. Sometimes a stranger will say, hey, I really like your outfit, or, you know, your hair looks really good today. I mean, that's really like exciting and empowering, you know, when somebody doesn't know you says something kind of nice. I don't know. I mean, we've all been inside authors. We're alone a lot. So when somebody offers a word of kindness or just even the smile and the eye contact, it's like the mama who's trying to wrangle kids in the grocery store. You know, when somebody makes eye contact and gives you a kind of a nod or, you know, says it's okay or helps out, my goodness, that's just, it feels so good because, man, we've all been there. I mean, I have 3 children of my own. I remember wrangling on them in the grocery store and wishing I didn't have to, right? Like going to the grocery store alone would have been like a trip.
Yeah, wishing for like a click list, like way back then. Why did not exist?
I know, exactly.
So the story of good is also a collection of stories for ordinary people who long to understand their calling. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is, you know, and you kind of mentioned this earlier, like you don't have to go and start a new nonprofit. Right? You can. God may be leading you to that if you're listening. He might, but he might not. And so often, like, we think, oh, it's this one really big thing that I need to go do. But really, like, we can, it's not just one day in the future. It's like right here, right now. How do you think? And you mentioned some of those, like a little look, maybe a little smile, a little encouraging word. Do you have any other ways of, like, maybe little things that have gone a long way in your own life, or something that somebody's done for you?
Well, you know, I think so many of these stories, when you, I thought for sure when I started writing the book that a lot of the stories of these founders of these different businesses would be very similar. And my job was going to be trying to find that unique thread. Well, that wasn't hard. There was something different in each story that was so easy to bring out and highlight, but so many of them had a commonality. They saw a need. As I think about Able, and it's a fashion brand that has been launched, and it's a large brand now, but the early days of Able were because that family was living in Ethiopia and they saw a need for women to have work that would give them an income so they could provide for their families, so that they didn't have to go do other things in order to be able just to take care of their families. And so they made scarves. This was the early, early start, was they figured out a way to give them business. And then they figured out, hey, well, we could probably send those to the US and sell them. There was a way to create just a little something. They saw one person that had a need and they created something for that. The same thing happened with just the one thing that needed to be done when Bob was trying to figure out how to help the homeless. There's so many stories where it was one tiny thing. Pura Vida bracelets, huge brand now. A lot of people know who they are, but they started by buying some bracelets, just a couple of college guys buying some bracelets from someone selling them on the road in Costa Rica. They bought 300, came home and sold them. And then a business was born and they saw a way for them to help impact a whole country, a whole culture. And then it kind of grew from there. So I think sometimes perhaps in our ambition, we want to launch a business that will help all these people and provide all this stuff. But even the big businesses that we're familiar with today didn't start that way. They found that one thing that they could do and they helped out there until it made sense for them to grow some more.
Oh, I love backstories, don't you?
Oh, 100%. I'm all about it.
It just gives you so much hope for yourself. And I'm thinking about, I interviewed Hal Donaldson, and he was talking about how he had one encounter with Mother Teresa. And she said, "What are you doing to help the poor?" And he was like, "Nothing." And so he went back to the States and he loaded up his pickup truck, and you may know this story, but and for those listening, I'll have to put in the show notes exactly. He was season 5 and I'm not exactly sure what episode, but I'll put it in the show notes. So he comes back to the States, loads up his pickup truck, and he starts to just feed the homeless. And now it's like Samaritan's purse, you know, and now he's fed millions of people all around the world. And it started with one conversation with Mother Teresa, you know, one conversation, and then loading up his pickup truck. And he didn't, that wasn't his end goal, but that's what God had in mind, right? So just do the one thing God is calling you to do right now with the person in front of you. What's the need right in front of you? And how can you help meet that need? I so believe that we can be the answer to people's prayers. Do you believe that?
100%. And I think it's a beautiful thing when God allows us to be that answer. There have been a lot of times along the way where I haven't quite understood what was going on around me, but I knew that God was busy at work and I just wanted to be there with him. Like, I don't want to be ahead of him. I don't want to be behind him. But like, if he's already doing something, can I just be part of that? Mm-hmm. Because anything I do on my own falls flat. You know, it's just, it's not nearly as exciting or wonderful or as effective, because I know that if God's in it, excuse me, if God's in it, he's going to bless it. And that is so fun. Like, it's fun. We don't do it obviously because it's fun. We do it because it's the right thing. And there's lots of hard work along the way. We've done lots of hard things. But when you know that God has already started something and you're just kind of along for the ride, it's exciting and terrifying all at the same time. You get to be a part of something bigger than yourself, and helping other people is one way to do that.
Do you think that fear is an aspect? And I'm just being really, really honest. Yesterday after church, my family and I went out to dinner, and there we just saw some people that honestly, like in my flesh, I was a little bit scared of, if I'm just being honest. And I actually said to my husband, I said, I wish I knew how to help them, but fear is stopping me from helping them right now.
Yeah.
You know, well, fear for your own safety. Or, and I think, do you think fear in many ways, not just fear of that person, but fear of not making a difference or fear of doing the wrong thing or saying the wrong thing? Do you have, what role does fear play in our not doing good?
For sure. I think often for myself, it's more of the fear of doing it wrong or doing it badly. I'm a perfectionist at heart. So if I'm going to do something, it needs to be done well, or, you know, perfectly, although I'm, you know, at my age now, I'm realizing, hey, you know what? Perfection isn't happening. Maybe you should let that go. And so I have to try to release, you know, that often. But my fear always tends to revolve around saying it wrong or doing it wrong. And there are so many ways. There's a lot of minefields today. There's a lot of danger, you know, out there in our interactions with people and trying to love and love them well. And for fear of saying it wrong, we often hold back and don't do anything because what if it's perceived wrong? Or what if they are offended? Or, you know, what if I just don't do it well? The people that are doing these really, really wonderful things, they don't have that fear. They just do it and move on. Now, that doesn't mean every story is successful. I think we have to be okay with failure. And a lot of us aren't okay with that either. Failure actually teaches us a lot of lessons and how to do things better or differently in the future. But I think overall there is fear. One of my friends, dear friends in the Dominican Republic, the reason I actually went on that mission trip in the first place, she was a missionary kid. And now she's a missionary with her husband there on the island, and they've planted multiple ministries. And she goes out on Thursday evenings and she witnesses on the street, you know, while the women are working and while the pimps are watching, you know, she's out there witnessing to women, which terrifies me to death. I'm like, I don't know how you do this. And she said, all I ask you to pray is for boldness. She said, I don't pray for my safety. Cause I was always like, I'm just praying that you'll be safe. You know, that she said, just pray for my boldness. And we can see that in the New Testament. We can see that in scripture. We see the prayer for boldness, but my thought is always to pray for safety. And I think that there's a really big difference in those two prayers.
Wow. That's a lot to think about. And something else that I was thinking as you were talking was about when we do good and when we, you know, say we think we're doing something kind that God has asked us to do, what if we don't see the immediate fruit of that? Or what if we don't get the gratitude we think that we should? How do we keep doing good and being kind when, regardless of the response that we receive?
Sure. Right. I mean, the fun and the excitement of doing good sometimes does feel good, right? Because people are impacted or they express thankfulness or you get to see an immediate difference. You know, a lot of these ministries, you know, they're businesses, but some of them they don't get to see results right away. They have to be in there for the long game. They have to play a really long game and recognize that results take time. And I think that that's when we're doing it for the right reason, when our motivations are in the right place, when we give it all back to God as an offering of service to Him, because we believe, because we are followers of the Lord, that should be enough. That we are just living out what we know God wants us to do. And I think the only way we do that is when we're keeping a very close walk with Him, a daily walk. If we're not in the Word regularly, if we're not praying regularly, I think our hearts wander very easily. And I think that that's where we find disappointment or discouragement in doing good. And it'll be easy to say, well, it's just not worth it.
I have been reading in the Gospels, and well, everybody on this podcast knows that my favorite verse is Ephesians 2:10, we're His workmanship, and that's that significance piece, but then we're created to do good works. We're here for a reason. And so, and you know, you look at the life of Jesus and how He lived and all the good He did, and just wherever He would go, He would see the need right in front of Him. And, I just was thinking about, like, that is why we're on the planet, and it's to glorify Him, and it's so others focused. And you were talking about this with, like, when we experienced COVID, it got us very self-focused. And so what does it look like to be
this other's focus, but with the purpose of pointing other people to him, like to glorify him. It really is such a beautiful thing to be able to partner with him in this way. And so as people read your book, what do you hope transpires in their hearts and then in the world around them?
So I think the really neat thing for the Christians and the audience to really understand is that while this story doesn't tell you, hey, this person is walking out their faith by launching this business, you can be really assured that the majority of the stories that I found here on the pages were believers who were trying to make an impact in the world, and they chose to do business as their means of doing it. But they don't lead with that in the marketplace. They don't lead with that in the world. They walk out and they live their faith out without saying the words necessarily, unless it's appropriate or the time. And so when I wrote this book, you know, I've written a lot of devotionals. I've written a lot of Christian living type titles. This is more of a general market trade book because I want to encourage people to do good, to go ahead and do that good thing or be part of this, what's already happening by buying products in a particular way. If I need a bracelet, if I need tea, if I need whatever, I'm going to shop here first before I go somewhere else because I know the impact that my dollars make here. That's what I want to encourage people in general to do. But what I want believers to know is that you can also do this. This is supposed to be inspiring to also say, hey, maybe you have this skill. Maybe you have this talent. Maybe you enjoy doing art classes and you want to start something in your community. You can do good with the thing that you're already wired to do or that you love or that you're passionate about. And you don't have to be out there necessarily witnessing on a daily basis. You can just live your life in a different way and have the opportunity to share God's love and God's goodness and God's kindness along the way because they are going to see it in you.
Yeah. Love God and love others. I was just thinking about in Acts how the Christians were given the name Christians in that early church because the Romans, I think, were the ones that named them because they were so generous. They were so generous that they're like, what? Who are these people? Yeah, right. And that's what I want to be known of us. Like, wow, who are these people that are doing this much good? They're being this kind and this generous with their talents and skills. Like, these people are different. What do they have that we don't?
Well, Acts is one of my favorite books as well. I mean, they talk about, you know, going after the people who are turning this world upside down, right? Like that's what we are supposed to be doing. excuse me. We should be known as the kindest, as the most generous, as the most joyful. And yet often I think that we're not because we are human and we have feelings and emotions, but I think, my goodness, what an impact that we could make on the world if we figured out maybe that one thing, because I'm not trying to change your whole world and go do something completely different, be a different person. And I think that that's the message of the book too. It's not like be good. Like we're trying to tell you like fix yourself. Mm. It's actually do good, which is actually a really good distinction because you can do good and you can continue to be intentional about doing good without saying, hey, like you got to fix everything because everything's a mess. I need to be more joyful. I need to be more generous. I need to be more good, kind, loving, all of the fruits of the spirit. I should be exhibiting those regularly. And so that has to be an intentionality in my heart. And that's something that I have to work on with the Lord. And if it's not being shown to others, then that's where I'm at fault. I have to fix that because that's how we shine the light of the Lord.
Yeah. Oh, I think that's really important that you just said that this is the Holy Spirit's work through us. Like we cannot do this apart from him. I can't. Yeah.
No. And if our power supply is low, right, we haven't been spending time like we're supposed to be, meditating, memorizing, just time with God, like we're not going to have that glow. Moses had that glow, right? Because he spent time with God. If we're not glowing, it's probably because we're not spending enough time, first of all, in that inner time where we just need to spend time with God in order to be different. And then from there we can go and make an impact on that one person that crosses my path today. I mean, I've had the opportunity to pray with somebody at the gas pump, who I have no idea why she asked me to pray for her, but she did. And I did. And I walked away and I thought, I'm not sure why she, I don't have bumper stickers that, you know, say it's her. Like, what was it? I don't know. I still don't know, but it was a sweet opportunity. And those things can come up at any time. What if I'd been too timid to, you know, smile at her and make eye contact? I mean, I might've missed out on that opportunity.
That's convicting and beautiful all the same.
And I don't do that all the time, right? Like a lot of times I'm just like, hey, I just need gas. And then, I'm a busy person, you know? So I'm not saying, hey, be like me, because I'm always doing it right. I'm not.
Me either. But that's so, so good. Such a good reminder. So as we start to come to a close, this is a question that I'm asking all of my guests, just tailored to the topic. So today's topic is a little kindness. So Victoria, how have you seen a little kindness go a long way in your own life?
Such a great question. It's been an interesting journey. I'm a missionary kid, missionary evangelist. And so we didn't have a lot growing up. My dad, I don't think, was ever at full church support ever. And so, you know, there were things sometimes that you didn't have. And a teenager who doesn't have, you know, designer clothes or, you know, the latest and greatest. I learned, though, that there were some people that sometimes would offer their hand-me-downs. And at the time, there are often times when people try to do good, but they're giving you kind of their leftovers, if that makes sense. When people do good and it's some of the nice things, or they take you shopping, or they do something really special for you, it kind of feels like they see you a little bit more. And so I think when I think of kindness, a little kindness, there was a family growing up that used to always give me these things that were just beautiful. They were pretty well off family. They had a couple girls that were just a little bit older than I was. And I mean, I never looked out of place. Nobody could have ever known those were hand-me-downs, except, you know, I wasn't shopping for things like that. And so I remember that, you know, along the way. And I think that that was one of the reasons why I loved this story so much with Vera Bradley, was walking into the Good Market, which was launched by the teammates from Vera Bradley. They had put their best into launching this particular initiative. The design, the store design, the layout, all of their best people were involved, and they gave of their best versus whatever they had left. And to me, that's impressive. When we lead with giving our best, I think that that's also a scriptural principle, but I also believe that it's so impactful when people see us being generous with the things that we could keep or we could use in a different way when we're giving those away.
Give our best. Oh, so, so good. Victoria, I know I want to stay connected with you and all of these brands that you mentioned. I'm going to list those brands and the others included in your book in the show notes, because I really want to support these brands that are doing so much good and to support you. So tell us how we can connect with you and just all the ways that we can support your ministry.
Sure. So victoriadurstock.com is my website. I have other books out there that are under Heart and Home, books.com. Story of Good has its own website, thestoryofgood.com. We're still building it out. Not all of the brands are listed yet, but we are getting more and more information there. And I'm on all the socials under VDurstock, so you can learn more about me there.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I'm just honored to get to talk to you today and have loved our conversation. You are so kind. And so thanks for encouraging us to do good, be a part of this good story, and to help us believe that a little kindness does go a long way.
100%. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode with Victoria Durstock. We hope that today encouraged you to do good and to believe that a little kindness goes a long way. This week, your little task is to look around to see how you might be able to show kindness to others. Choose one little act of kindness that would be significant to someone God puts on your heart. If you are interested in show notes, you can head on over to @RachelAdamsAuthor on Instagram or Facebook. I'd love to connect with you there. I'd also love to connect with you over on RachelKAdams.com. There you can subscribe to receive your weekly Love Offering newsletter, and all of this information can go straight to your inbox each week. You can also listen to previous podcast episodes, you can read the blog series, you can purchase significant merchandise. You can download free resources like the List Tracker Conversation Guide and the Guided Journal. And you can learn to leave a review for the devotional and for the podcast. When you leave a review, more listeners and more readers can find out about the devotional and about the podcast, which I so would appreciate. Next week, my guest is Whitney Aiken. She's on the show talking about how a little look goes a long way. I can't wait to chat with you again then, but until then, I hope you have a terrific week. And as always, remember to lead with love.